And where better to look at than Four Green Hall? And Neil Dawson, how are you?
Good morning there, Jeff. And nice to speak to you.
Now, Four Green Hall, is it the oldest building in Stoke-on-Trent?
It's the oldest used building still. There is a few, like, them, you could consider some, like, the Muslim limits. It's obviously a lot older, but it's the oldest one which is still in actual in use.
Brilliant. And I used to obviously live in the north of the city, and I used to walk my dogs around the lake. I'm ashamed to say I'm one of those people who have never been inside it.
Oh, that's shocking. The next time you're up here, we can kidnap you and drag you through. But we won't put you in the stocks, though.
It wouldn't be the first time, I've got to tell you. I have done a charity fundraiser when I had wet sponges thrown at me. But enough of me. So, Four Green Hall, for someone like me who's not been in, tell me, what are the delights in this place?
I think what we've done over the last few years, it's become a community museum. We've changed we've not changed the history of the place. Its heritage is still the same. It's got a great feel as soon as you walk in. You're learning about how the Tudors and the Stuarts lived, what kind of buildings they lived in, the wooden buildings. You're actually seeing the way they had their halls, and you think about cooking, for example. That's a nice one to look. And obviously, at that stage, everything was done on open fires and stuff. You weren't able to put it in an oven and set a timer on. So there's all array of things. It's about learning the past, but it's also about maximising the use of all the rooms. It's quite nice to go in and look round and see all these things. And we always do improvements. Schools come in on a regular basis and they learn a lot. But we've got to make it a bit more exciting. Once you've been to a museum, why would you go again?
Yeah.
So therefore, we change our activities to make it more palatable to young people and all ages. So we're actually targeting community activities, and we work around those themes. Like at Easter, we have children's activities, children's trails.
Oh, brilliant.
But also we've got threaders and sewers who come in every week and are doing some lovely tapestries. And it's seeing those grow. You've been part of that process. So though you're looking at history, you're seeing something that's been made today in the olden ways.
Touches base with history.
I mean,
and it's such a wonderful setting for something like that. I mean, the whole thing, when you pull off onto the car park and you see this wonderful building, and beyond it, you're looking down the Whitfield Valley, and it just, I always... You know, even if I'm just passing through, I'll quite often stop just to look at the outside. Now you're taking me through the door, it sounds even better.
Oh, you're right. It's a great combination. Like I say, people park up there and you've got a really good option. You can go around the nature reserve. It's a triple SI. There's lots of photographers out there taking pictures, but you can just have a walk around. It's very comfortable. And then you can actually walk around the museum too, or you can take part in one of the, if it's a more hectic day, if we've got a teddy bear's picnic, and or sometimes we've got Vikings on, it's a bit more sort of a bit more noisy, let's put it like that. So you probably need the balance view of walking around the lake.
Brilliant. And so, obviously you said you've got Easter trails coming up, and when we're not far off the Easter season now. So how do people get involved with things like that?
Right. So basically, we open every day of the week from Sunday to Thursday. So we're not open on a Friday and a Saturday, when we tend to cater for either weddings or school visits. So Sunday to Thursday, we're open from 1 till 4 every day, and sometimes longer hours than that when we're advertised. But it's the first thing we do, a very good Facebook site. We have lots of comments, quite often positive, but occasionally people say, look, I'd like to see this occur there. And we always, because we're community orientated, we try to take everything at value that people feed back to us. So we think, oh, that's a good idea, we'll have a go at that. And we're always looking, it's for volunteers. We're community based. There is some part time workers. There's got to be some experts there who know the history. But there's quite a lot of volunteers who can get a lot out of it. As I mentioned, we have the service groups. We have people who actually learn how to use spinning wheels. But that's the one to do with making tapestries. Or there's all other range. And we're just exploring to look at old games. And those kind of things have probably disappeared. Where it used to be maybe. Went into pubs and you played dominoes and crib and stuff. We're looking at why not utilise the place in some afternoons for people who want to come together and just have a game of cards, whether it be crib, and then to actually, because it's a museum, why not explore the history? Where's that game originated from?
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
And let's a bit of research that they can carry out, and we would support them and help them to get whatever training is necessary. So we're looking for an array of involvement. That's what heritage has got to be about. It's not just about looking and going. Staying,
yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's this sort of idea of living history, isn't it, where you experience it rather than look back at it in a dusty way. And you said it can be a wedding venue as well.
Oh yes, we've got a license for the weddings, and we dress it all up, and we have wedding fairs there too. So we are limited on size.
Yes.
What we obviously can't start knocking rooms into each other and making a bigger venue. We've got our limitations, but for small weddings, it's great. But we actually promote the old array of people coming along, going to the fair and seeing what the options are.
I just find that sort of really good. And can, you know, like if there was a group, I don't know, from a club or a church or something like that, are they able to, you know, book a tour?
Oh, definitely. Tours are booked on a regular basis. We quite often have the people from the women's groups, but we also have people from disabled groups. We cater for those. We help out on those, and we have people who've got mental problems who also come on a weekly basis. So we do a full range of group visits. So yeah, we welcome those. We've got one coming for about 30, which we always have a panic, but we get there, and most people are very obliging.
Yes.
If they say you try help them and be positive, they quite often are helpful in return.
Yeah, yeah. If someone wanted to bring a, you know, Women's Institute group or a, you know, one of the clubs from somewhere, how would they best book that?
Best book is by telephoning 537-696.
537-696. But do you see this then, Fort Greene, as one of those integral parts of the City of Culture bid?
Absolutely crucial. We were very supportive. They are still content. It's the right time for the City Culture to really take root. And even if by any chance we don't get it, we should be very positive. But what we should do is take all the good points that people are putting into now. If we don't win that particular one, we should still go ahead and actually focus on culture as an area, because that's the way we'll get more visitors, and we get our pride back. We've been derided this year, haven't we, particularly around the election.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to show ourselves in a better light and given that opportunity, and around the culture aspects, we are outstanding.